Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the H2O Innovation Conference Call announcing its second quarter 2018 results conference call. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence d'H2O Innovation annonçant les résultats financiers du deuxième trimestre de l'année financière de 2018. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for any questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. Cet appel se déroulera en anglais, mais n'hésitez pas à poser vos questions en français. Before turning the meeting over to management, please be advised that this conference call will contain statements that could be forward-looking and subject to a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, February 14th, 2018, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I will now turn the conference over to your hosts, Monsieur Frédéric Ducret and Marc Blanchet. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Marc Blanchet. I'm CFO of H2O Innovation. This call will be held in English, but I'll just say a brief word in French to our French listeners. Merci, bonjour à tous. Dans un premier temps, j'aimerais vous remercier d'assister à cet appel et de vous aviser que même si l'appel se tiendra en anglais, nous répondrons aux questions qui seront posées en français dans la seconde partie de l'appel. Pour faciliter le suivi de l'appel, je vous invite à télécharger la présentation sur notre site Internet h2oinnovation.com dans la section Investisseurs. Before we begin, I invite you to download a copy of today's presentation, which can be found on our website at h2oinnovation.com. In the section Investors. Frédéric Ducret, our President and CEO, is joining me today for the call, which duration is approximately 30 minutes. In today's call, Frédéric will go over H2O Innovation's business model and highlight the milestone of our second quarter of our fiscal year 2018, which ended on December 31st. I will then be discussing the quarter's financial result. Before I hand over the call to Frédéric, please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on page 2 of the presentation. I would now like to hand over the call to Frédéric, our President and CEO.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you for joining the call today regarding the presentation of the second quarter results of the fiscal year 2018. I have to say that I really look forward to present you the results and all the improvements accomplished during this quarter and for the first 6 months of our fiscal year. I'm delighted because we're observing growth momentum in each of our three business pillars. Also, we're seeing sales synergies fueled by the project business and by the O&M business contributing to the SP&S growth and gross margin improvement. I'm also encouraged to see that our project business is now accelerating with revenue recognition. This level of activity should remain the same for the second half of our fiscal year. As anticipated, our operation and maintenance business pillar is adding predictability to our business model with its recurring sales. The O&M business also improves our cash flow and provides superior customer retention. All of that translates into scalability of our EBITDA. In other words, for the second quarter finished December 31st, 2018, the EBITDA has reached $1.4 million, showing a 68% growth compared to Q2 of previous fiscal year. During the same period, revenues have reached a record of $25.8 million, showing a 30% growth. Therefore, we are showing with confidence that at a given revenue level, above $20 million a quarter, we can scale up the EBITDA basis significantly. Again, looking at the revenues and EBITDA evolution from the first to the second quarter of our current fiscal year, we are also observing that we are growing our EBITDA faster than our revenues. For us, our strategy is to continuously find ways to improve our gross profit by increasing sales, but also by reducing our manufacturing costs, leveraging our supply chain, and gaining efficiencies through leaner operations. Moreover, as we are growing, we believe we can maintain some of our SG&A expenses at the same level, creating additional leverage and growth to our EBITDA. As mentioned previously, the revenues for the first 6 months of our fiscal year are moving in the right direction. Supported by growing backlog in both the project business and the O&M pillar, our business is expected to continue its progression. After a couple of slow quarters last year for the project division, it's now encouraging to see the revenues picking up. On an LTM basis, the project revenues have progressed by 39%. For the SPNS group, revenues continue their steady growth, boosted by product innovation and growing distribution network. On a last 12-month basis, this business pillar is also showing a sustained growth of 12%. Finally, the O&M group has continued to provide predictability to our business model by renewing all their existing contracts coming up for renewal and added 5 new O&M contracts within the 18 months following the acquisition of Utility Partners. Even though the growth appearing for the O&M pillar is showing modest growth, the O&M business is definitely moving in the right direction. Overall, our business is growing, and our business model is becoming more predictable and looks very promising for the second half of our fiscal year. Another important factor contributing to our improvement is the business mix. For the second quarter ended December 2018, consolidated revenues have reached a new high of $25.8 million, an increase of 29.4% compared to last year's second quarter. This growth is coming from our three business pillars. The business mix not only influences revenue growth, but also impacts the gross profit generated. Indeed, each business pillar contributes, on its own way, to the corporation evolution. For example, the project will impact more or influence revenue level directly. The specialty products and services will contribute to margin improvement. The O&M will add predictability and sustain positive cash flow to our business model. At the end of this quarter, recurring sales by nature represented 74.5% of the consolidated revenues. Keep in mind that less than 2 years ago, recurring sales accounted for approximately 55%. Let's review the progress done on each of our business pillars now, starting with the project business. Boosted by our open source platforms, the FiberFlex and the FlexMBR, we have been able to maintain a healthy, diversified, and strong backlog of $51.9 million at the end of the second quarter. During the first 6 months of our fiscal year, we have been able to secure the significant project of $10 million for the City of San Diego. Also, early in the third quarter, we have announced the award of 2 flagship industrial projects, increasing the backlog to $56.1 million as of February 7, 2018. This diversification with more wastewater and industrial projects will contribute to improve the gross profit moving forward and to accelerate the revenue recognition in the coming quarters. Our second business pillar has continued its growth, reaching $10.6 million compared to $7.7, a 37.6% increase. This impressive growth is notably due to the growth of our new filter housing product line under Piedmont name. Indeed, during the second quarter, we have secured a large order of FRP housing, which will be installed in a 250,000 cubic meter per day desalination plant in the Middle East. Second, our investment done in the operating and selling functions are starting to pay off. Third, we keep adding new distributors and extend our sales coverage. And finally, our maple product line keeps surpassing their record sales month after month. Among the key ingredients to our growth, the expansion of our specialty sales remain a priority for us. Indeed, during the first 6 months of our fiscal year, we added 8 new distributors representing our PWT and Piedmont product line, a 19% increase. During the same period, we also added 4 new distributors for the maple division, representing an 8% growth. All of that allowed us to not only present strong growth for the second quarter, but also build momentum for the coming quarters and future fiscal years. For our third business pillar, the operation and maintenance, created only 18 months ago, we can clearly say that the acquisition and integration of Utility Partner is a clear success. So far, we have been able to renew all of our contracts coming up for renewal. Also, we have secured 5 new O&M contracts following the acquisition, including 3 new ones since July 1st, 2017. With the addition of these new O&M contracts, we have expanded our activities in Texas and Alberta, two promising geographies favorable to the O&M business. Finally, our backlog remains strong at $64.2 million at the end of our second quarter. The weighted average remaining life of the O&M backlog amounts to 1.89 years at the end of the second quarter. Through our negotiation and renewal, we are trying to increase this weighted number by signing long-term contracts. Moving forward, we are confident with our growth strategy for the O&M business pillar, as we're seeing the U.S. market very favorable to the private sector for the operation and maintenance of water utilities. Indeed, looking at the 2016 numbers, the OPEX market was three times bigger than the CAPEX market. We don't believe market conditions and drivers have changed since the acquisition of utility partners. If anything, we believe it has been growing and continue to remain promising. Among the different geographies we're looking to grow the O&M business, Texas is very attractive to us. First, because of their upcoming investment in their water and wastewater infrastructure and their ability to work with the private sector. Second, because the population of Texas is expected to grow by 40% by 2040. Hence, Texas will have no choice but to rely on the private sector to build, operate, and maintain their water utilities. Combining our O&M business with our project group, we believe we are well positioned to capture this growth. Again, after only 18 months into the O&M business, we have been able to maintain our presence in key geographies and expand ourselves in new promising geographies such as Alberta and Texas. But also, with the numerous projects and package plans we have delivered to the oil and gas producers in Alberta, we believe we are well positioned to capture O&M contracts with these customers that H2O Innovation is already in contact with. Overall, our business model keeps improving as we're gaining predictability with more recurring revenues, 74.5% in Q2 of fiscal year. On a last 12-month basis, we have been able to grow the business to $93.8 million, a 13.4% increase from previous fiscal year. Our business model is proposing a unique offering which promotes multiple sales synergies between our business pillar and maximize customer retention. I will now let Mark present you with further details our financial performance of our second quarter.
Thank you for this update, Frederick. Now let's go over the financial results of H2O Innovation's second quarter of this 2018 fiscal year. For the second quarter of fiscal 18, we recorded revenue of $25.8 million. This is an increase of nearly 30% compared to the same quarter last year. After 6 months, our revenue are now at $48 million. This second quarter, revenue came essentially from the 90% increase of revenue from project business pillar and 38% increase coming from the revenue of specialty products and services. Revenue of the project for the second quarter went from $3.4 million last year to $6.6 this year. Revenue from the project have increased significantly since last year, and we expect to keep a similar level of revenue in the upcoming quarters and even slightly higher. Our project team is very busy and continue to execute the projects that are in our backlog, which is still high at $56.1 million as at February 7. Revenue from specialty products and services for the second quarter reached $10.6 million for this quarter, compared to $7.7 million last year. The second quarter, together with the third quarter, are strong quarters for this business pillar due to the seasonality coming from the maple equipment sales. Revenue from operation and maintenance for the second quarter slightly decreased by 2% at $8.6 million compared to last year. Last year's revenue of $8.8 million. Revenue of this pillar are generated by our affiliate company, Utility Partners, and are in U.S. dollar. The foreign exchange impact from last year to this year is amounting to $400,000. Therefore, if we don't consider this foreign exchange impact, we generated an organic growth of nearly 3% compared to last year. This increase is the result of new contract and scope expansion we secured since the acquisition of Utility Partners 18 months ago. The gross profit margin ratio was pretty stable at 24% for the second quarter compared to last year. The gross profit margin of the second and the third quarter are generally higher, boosted by the revenue coming from maple equipment sales, which are recorded in the specialty products and services business pillar. SG&A increased at $4.9 million compared to $4.2 last year. It represents a 19% ratio over revenue for the second quarter of fiscal 18, down from 21% for the same quarter last year. The decrease in percentage is due to the increase of the overall revenue coming without impacting proportionally the SG&A expenses. SG&A ratio for this first 6 months is at 18%, and we expect to be able to maintain SG&A below the 20% mark for the rest of the fiscal year. Net loss was significantly impacted by the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which is a tax reform enacted by the U.S. government during the second quarter. It has a negative impact of $1.1 million on our year-to-date result. During the second quarter of fiscal 2018, the U.S. government enacted the Tax Act, which makes broad and complex changes to U.S. tax code, including but not limited to reducing the U.S. federal corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%. The impact on H2 Innovation basically is a negative impact of $1.1 million, and it has been written off the deferred tax asset. So without that impact of $1.1 million, the net loss would have been just a bit above $200,000. So it's an improvement compared to last year, and the improvement of the net loss before tax adjustment is mostly due to a significant increase of the revenue, business mix, with more revenue coming from specialty products and services generating better gross margin, and it's also driven by a decrease of the SG&A as percentage over revenue. If we go over the adjusted EBITDA, it increased by $600,000, reaching $1.4 million this year. It's just like the improvement of the net loss, the improvement of the EBITDA comes from sales, volume increase, business mix, generating a better gross profit margin, and tight management of expectations of expenses. The ratio of EBITDA over revenue is at 5.3% for this second quarter. After 6 months, this ratio is now at 4%. We expect the EBITDA ratio to be maintained at similar level than Q2 for the third quarter, with the seasonality of the revenue in the SPNS business pillar. Financial position on December 31st, the working cap ratio was at 1.31 compared to 1.42 on June 30th, 2017. The ratio is impacted by a higher volume of activity. We increased by nearly $4 million are receivable to 17.1 compared to 13.2 on June 30th. It's coming from invoicing milestone reach in the project and the high volume of activity coming from the SPNS business pillar, so specialty products business pillar. Inventory increased by $1.3 million to 6.2 from 4.9 last year, June 30th. The inventory is increased in preparation of the maple syrup production. Cash flow from operation activities generated $600,000 in cash for the three-month period ended December 31st, compared to $1.1 million for the comparable quarter ended December 31st in last year, so 2016. This decrease is due to the variation in working cap items, such as higher volume of activities during this quarter compared to the second quarter of fiscal 2017. Increase of level of finished good inventory to meet the growing demand, and a timing difference in project manufacturing phase affecting invoicing milestones. Operating activities generated $600,000 in cash for this quarter, and the adjusted EBITDA reached $1.4 million. While these measures are linked, the growth of adjusted EBITDA was more than offset by the working cap requirements due to the growth of the business. Movement of debt. In the second quarter of fiscal 2018, project activities combined with inventory increase momentarily increased our debt level. The net debt increased by $3 million since June 30th, 2017, and it's now standing at $15.6 million. For the same reason explained earlier, it's the increase of revenue in project and in specialty products business pillars that impacted the account receivable. So if you do the account receivable less the account payable, it increased by nearly $5 million. So there was a very high level of invoicing in December in the project and in the SPNS business pillar that explained that significant increase of $5 million. Also, inventory increased by $1.3 million, again, in the preparation of the maple season. So as we collect those receivables and as we reduce this inventory, we should see the bank loan being reduced and the cash flow situation continue to be improved. Since June 30th, we also increased our long-term debt by $1.5 million. Half a million is secured or was secured in the first quarter. We explained that earlier. It's for a debt that was contracted for funding a new ERP implementation. And a million is the new million that was secured. It's a loan to secure a bond line, which loan is secured by a guaranteed deposit certificate of the same amount, so it's been offsetted. This is since the beginning of the financial year, we reimbursed $1 million of our long-term debt as per the reimbursement schedule, and the average cost of our debt is 5%. This concludes my remarks of the financing section, and I'll hand over the call back to Frederick for conclusion remarks.
Thank you, Mark. As mentioned earlier in the presentation, we have demonstrated that our business is scalable, meaning that we can grow EBITDA faster than revenues. Also, our diversified and strong consolidated backlog coming from the projects and the O&M contracts is providing us excellent visibility for the coming quarters. With the addition of the O&M to our business model and the sustained growth of our specialty products and services, we now have 74.5% of our revenues that are recurrent by nature. The project pillar will certainly fuel growth in the coming quarters, and margins should start to improve as we are diversifying our backlog with more wastewater and industrial projects, commanding higher gross profit margin. The SPNS group will continue to develop and launch new products and grow its sales network of distributors. The third business pillar, the O&M, will become more and more a catalyst to sales synergies with other pillars and will allow us to establish strong presence in promising geographies such as Alberta and Texas. Altogether, our business is in good shape. Thanks to our loyal, innovative, and dedicated team, we keep improving our EBITDA as we are growing revenues. We make it work. This now completes the management presentation. I will now turn it back to the operator for the Q&A period.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now conduct the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please ensure you lift the handset if you are using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. Your first question comes from the line of Pardeep Sangha from Haywood Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, good morning, Pardeep.
Hello, Pardeep.
Yeah, and in the past, I think you talked about, the 9 delayed projects and the project side of the business, and I think you mentioned last quarter that 4 of the 9 delayed projects have started to proceed, so maybe you can just give us a sense of indication. Are we, up and running on all 9 of those projects now, or is there
absolutely
still some that are still?
I was somehow expecting this question, by the way. I reviewed the numbers last night, but out of the 9 now, we have 7 projects that have resumed or now engage into a construction schedule or into the engineering phase. So only 2 of them out of the 9 remains still pending or under review. And again, they're not being into a threat, if I can say, of any cancellation.
Okay. And, you expect that maybe those 2 could start up by the end of this fiscal year, or is that sort of reasonable?
It looks like yes. I mean, there's 1 out of the 2 in which we're currently in the renegotiation or reviewing the terms. So this one looks pretty promising. We cannot yet tell you exactly what would be the impact for the current fiscal year. And the other one, I mean, it's still pending, but yeah.
Okay. Now, in terms of Q3 here, Maple is always strong in Q2 and Q3, your fiscal Q2 and Q3. So are we seeing that same strength in Maple here in Q3, and then typically it drops off in Q4? So just wondering about the sort of seasonality on Maple. Should we expect the same thing that we've seen in the past?
Yes. I mean, that's the same pattern. I mean, that Q2, Q3 is usually the strongest quarter we have for the Maple. On the other end, we usually see a nice pickup on the third and fourth quarter for the specialty chemicals. So that helps also to boost the SPNS sales moving forward.
Okay. Now, in terms of gross margin, you mentioned 24% kind of a gross margin number. Q3 is probably going to be a similar sort of range. Typically, Q4 and Q1, you see a little bit of decline there. Are we sort of still expecting those kinds of seasonality on gross margin as well?
Yes, that's correct. It's going to follow the same trend as previous year. There's nothing exceptional this year that will justify a shift of this.
Okay. So, in terms of your geographical expansion, I see, you know, Texas, Alberta added. Are there other sort of key areas that you kind of want to get to? Like, are there some certain states or certain areas that you think is very strategically important for you to get into?
Well, Texas, as mentioned in the presentation, is the top of the list, and we're getting more and more feet in the ground and presence there, both on the project side and the O&M now. For other geographies, I mean, obviously California, I mean, this is in our backyard. I mean, we do have operations there. We do have numerous projects that we're currently working on. It still remains a very attractive area, boosted by and supported by, you know, large water treatment infrastructure investment. I would say the southeast, you know, the Georgia area with Florida is also interesting and promising for us for both project and O&M. I mean, if there's anything, if we could start to capture a little bit more opportunities in Florida for operation and maintenance, it could be something very nice, because we do have numerous references for the project side.
Okay. Ontario, you haven't really done much in Ontario. That's a big market. What's sort of your view on that market?
Well, in Ontario, we're about to start the commissioning of a quite nice ultrafiltration plant for the city of Innisfil, just north of Toronto. It will be among our largest U.S. reference for the Canadian market. So with this, I think we'll be able to start to build up more momentum for the Ontario market. But you're right. I mean, it's something that we haven't been able to tap on yet. Again, we're trying to, I would say, maintain our sales costs or sales structure minimal, and try to leverage as much as we can the existing resources we have. So we have, you know, people covering Canada and the U.S. at the same time to maximize their time and opportunities. But it's an area where we have to improve, obviously.
Okay. And lastly, on the EBITDA margin, good to see this improvement on the EBITDA margin. Now, in terms of longer term, you know, if we look back before the acquisition of, you know, you had sort of 6% plus sort of EBITDA margins. You know, can we expect to get back to those kinds of levels in the longer term here?
Yes, as volume will ramp up, Pardeep, and as it is being maintained at this level, we should see EBITDA margin on LTM basis continue to stabilize at higher level as we used to historically see before the acquisition. So basically last year it was impacted by the lower revenue, so we had to cover the variable cost that became fixed cost, so impacted negatively our EBITDA gross margin. And now we should, as revenue coming from project continue to stay high, we should continue to be able to generate that EBITDA level.
And I think, Pardeep, that the other important factor is that if you take a picture of today's project backlog and you look into it and look at the number of industrial projects we have and the number of wastewater projects we have compared to what it was a year ago, well, you will see that the nature of these projects within the backlog and the mix of application and is quite different. And this, moving forward, should drive margin improvement for the project business itself. So assuming that there's nothing that changed on the specialty products and the operation and maintenance group, and knowing that this diversification within the project business will start to happen moving forward as we start to recognize and execute these projects, it should push forward the EBITDA margin because, you know, we're going to keep more or less the same cost structure.
With the same level of revenues.
Yes.
Right. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bardi.
If there are any additional questions at this time, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Gabriel Leung from Beacon Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. Heather, just following up on the, the margin expansion discussion. Can you talk about, so, you know, you mentioned a couple of things, but, you know, I'm just kind of curious. I think amongst the three divisions right now, your O&M division probably has the lowest of the gross margin in terms of profile. Now, is there, you know, do you see any levers in your arsenal that could help you bump up that O&M gross margin over time? Is it just a function of revenue volumes, or are there other levers that you can use to take that the gross margins higher there?
Well, the O&M margin in itself, as you can imagine with the nature of the activity, is you're providing labor more or less. So, I mean, there's so much we can do in boosting up this margin. However, we can start to push upward the margins by taking additional scope of work, which we're trying to do, and by creating additional sales synergies by adding chemicals, for example, specialty products, some equipment that we can provide and capital improvement. So this actually margin improvement, even though may not directly impact the O&M business pillar, may contribute to the improvement of the other business pillar. So the downside of it is that we don't give necessarily the credit to the O&M business pillar itself. However, it brings additional sales and synergies to the other pillars.
Is there a sort of target you guys would hope to achieve, you know, assuming the the year-over-year growth on the business remains robust? Is there a sort of a target gross or EBITDA margin you hope to hit within the next sort of 12 to 24 months?
Twelve to twenty-four months.
We have internal targets. Next year, we're looking to go back to what it was before the acquisition, so in the area of 6, and we believe that in 24 months we should be in the area of 7.5 to 8.
Gotcha. That's great. And just on the M&A front, I mean, clearly, Tilde Partners, the integration there has gone well, and you seem to be towards the tail end of that integration. You've talked about, you know, entering sort of several new markets, or you see a lot of opportunities in a couple of new markets, Texas being, I guess, the most recent one in the U.S. Where are you guys right now in terms of thinking about M&A for expanding, probably more likely the O&M side of things in terms of expanding the footprint. Do you feel you're in a position now to pursue another acquisition more aggressively?
I mean, there are definitely opportunities that we're looking at as we speak, yes, on the O&M side. And yes, we're ready to integrate another one because this one was probably done and probably integrated, so our management team and the key people is ready to absorb another O&M activity. We have a great platform that we can bolt on new O&M opportunities. It's a matter of timing, but it's definitely something that we're currently looking at.
That's great. Thanks for the feedback, guys.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jerry Sweeney from Roth Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Frederic and Mark. How are you?
Hey, Jerry. I'm good. Yourself, Jerry?
I'm doing all right. I apologize. I got dropped for a couple minutes, so if any of these questions are redundant, I apologize. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the SP&S side of the business. Obviously, you made some investments there, not only on the maple side and distribution, et cetera, but you were looking at expanding chemicals and cleaners. Just want to see if you could talk about some of the longer-term opportunities, investments on that side of the business that carries much, much higher gross margins, et cetera, and just want to see how that would play out as well.
Yeah, well, there's, as I mentioned a little bit earlier in the presentation, there's obviously two drivers that we're currently working on and under our control. First is product innovation. So there's some products we're currently working on to add to the portfolio, both for Piedmont and for the PWT chemical division. So these new products obviously give us additional outreach to our existing distributors. The other thing that we're working on is a program to improve our cost of manufacturing of these products, existing products we have. So either through existing sub-manufacturers or in-house manufacturing that we can improve to reduce our cost, improve our margin. So these two drivers together is what we have in mind short-term, internally, to improve margins and get new sales. Also, the SP&S is also a great platform on which we could bolt on either additional products that we could license or that we could distribute, but also other products or companies that we could bolt on as a complementary specialty products as well, through acquisition, for example.
Got it.
So what we're trying to do is to really grow, maintain high, but grow the margin as well moving forward for the specialty products group.
Okay. And how many distributors do you have on board now on the SP&S side?
It was 42 plus 8, so we're getting close to 50 distributors for PWT and Piedmont combined together. And what's great is that we're starting to see also a number of them starting to distribute both product lines. So some, I'm thinking about a new one, for example, in Vietnam that we just signed earlier this fall, who has started to buy the chemicals and then suddenly started to buy the couplings as well for Piedmont. And it goes on and on and on. So this is what we're trying to do. So we're getting close to 50. And for the maple distributors as well, we're above 50 also. So I think we're 54, 53 for the maple.
Okay. You sort of touched upon my next question was, how many of those 50 distributors on the SP&S side, sell, we'll just say, one or two products. So there's an opportunity not only to add additional products to the portfolio, but to get more depth or density with existing distributors. Okay. And is that part of, some of that spend? You've had some, I guess, distributor days. You spent a lot of marketing bringing guys in to one location, teaching them about products. Got it. Okay.
Yes, that's why we – actually, every other year we conduct what we call the distributor summit or symposium, where we invite into a specific location all of our distributors, international distributors, and we train them on – both product line, and this year it happened in Netherlands in early fall. Yeah,
got it. And then, Mark, maybe a question for you on the tax side. Obviously, you had the deferred tax asset gets reevaluated, and that was a negative on the tax line. But on a go forward basis, any material change to the tax rate? How does that work? I mean, obviously, you're domiciled.
So our tax rate has been reduced from 35 to 21. So indeed, it deflated our deferred tax asset by a third nearly.
Yeah.
But as for the balance, I mean, which is about $2 million left. There is going to be eaten or being expensed slower because so we don't lose anything. We just lose it right now, but as for future or upcoming quarters, I mean, the rest of the deferred tax asset will be expense at a rate of 21% instead of 35%. So we don't lose anything. It's just that we
sure.
Lose that asset right away. It's the only main application of this legislation to us. It's the rest of it does not necessarily touches us.
Okay, and I mean the deferred what happened on the deferred tax asset, I'm seeing across the board with a lot of my companies. But I was curious if you're going to have a positive impact in terms of some of the taxes that you maybe pay in the United States, and i.e., I mean, get a little bit better cash flow generation just because that rate will be lower. Is that
in terms of cash flow generation? Since we've had tax loss, it won't impact us for the next quarters. But as soon as we're done with that deferred tax asset, indeed, it will be better than it was because it's a
lower taxation.
Yeah, lower taxation.
Got it. That makes sense. I apologize. I should have seen that coming, but that makes sense. And then. Then just jumping over to utility partners, obviously, you know, the new wins are fantastic. And I assume the cross-selling opportunities are similar to what we saw when you originally got involved in utility partners, you know, the chemicals, cleaners, et cetera. Same opportunities on a go-forward basis, correct?
Yeah. And that's our day-to-day task is to keep pushing for that and create more and more awareness by our project manager to their customers on how we can better help them and better, you know, provide services to these customers.
Yep. And then I guess my final question, I guess with the Alberta win, that was actually a facility that you helped build to some degree. And correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, ideally this is an opportunity sort of to demonstrate you can close the loop, you can design, build, operate. Any opportunities in the pipeline for that?
Well, this is what we're aiming at, but the one that we just closed in Alberta was a public tender. It's actually for a park, provincial park, where we will be operating 13 utilities. Among the 13 utilities, yes, there was one old U.S. plant that was built a couple of years ago. To some extent, yes, you're right, but the other utilities or just systems that existed there that was prior to H2O.
Sure.
But
now,
because we're now established and the contract would officially start in April 1st, but because now we'll be established in Alberta with operation and maintenance, yes, our strategy is to take advantage of this reference and this team there to go and seek and propose to existing customers of H2O, particularly into the oil and gas sector, to provide operation and maintenance on these package plants that we have delivered to Suncor, to Devon, to Shell. So, yeah.
Got it. Perfect. That's it for me. Congratulations on a good quarter, and great talking to you.
Good. Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
There are no further questions at this time. Monsieur Ducret, I turn the call back over to you.
Well, thank you very much for joining the call today, and we'll look forward to talk to you on the third quarter results. If you have further questions or you need to look at the presentation, it's available on our website, and do not hesitate to contact us for further information. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our conference call. You may now disconnect your lines.